the book of Hebrews this morning, and our Bible reading is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 39. So if you've got your Bible there, you might like to follow along, otherwise it'll come up on the screen. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that your word is a trustworthy word. We thank you, Lord, that contained within your word is the truth that will set us free. And so, Father, we just ask this morning that you would give us ears that are open to hear your voice through this word, and eyes, Lord, that are open to be able to see the spiritual truths that we're going to be discussing this morning. Speak to us, Lord, we pray. Amen. I've been a Christian now for over 50 years, and I can honestly stand before you today and say that the journey for me has been a very satisfying one. I have no regrets at all. I absolutely marvel at God's grace in my life over those years. But something that I have learnt in that time is that the Christian life is not always an easy ride. And people who expect the Christian life to be an easy ride, I find, are very often disappointed. And they become disillusioned. And some of them even walk away from their faith. Why does this happen? Certainly, God promises never to leave nor forsake his people. And that's a promise which is stated a number of times in Scripture. Jesus warned his disciples, "Before you come and commit yourself to me, I want you to sit down and count the cost of being a Christian." The way of Jesus, personally, was a very difficult one. He faced rejection. He went through a lot of pain, ultimately in death. And Jesus basically said to his disciples, "If this is the way they have treated me, you can expect to cop the same sort of treatment yourself." He said to his disciples on another occasion, "Unless you're prepared to deny yourself and take up your cross," which was a metaphorical way of saying, face the hardship of being a follower of mine, "you're not worthy of me." And so we can see that right from the get-go, Christians are to be prepared to face up to the struggle that may be involved in the Christian life. As well as that, Christians are not exempt from the natural causes of pain and grief in this life. Christians are not exempt from things like cancer, miscarriages, chronic diseases, road accidents, forced redundancies, the effects of cyclones and floods, and we could go on and on and on. And these are the if you like, the natural consequences of sin, which flow into people of all ages and stages of life, irrespective of whether they're Christians or not. You can never accuse God of bribing people into his kingdom with guarantees of health and prosperity and an easy life. Life for any one of us can be hard. And I've been learning that the Christian life, the life for the Christian, is as hard for us as it is for anybody else. And in some parts of the world, it's actually a whole lot harder if you become a Christian. So it's important for us to dispel any myths that that to be a Christian is to sign up to a life of pure pleasure, free of trouble, with some kind of spiritual insurance cover that is going to insulate you from the realities, the harsh realities of life. And the whole of the letter to the Hebrews is written against that kind of a background. And it seems that some of the readers of this letter were people who had been Christians for some years. They'd been battling along, but were now starting to have second thoughts, starting to question whether it was really worth it to be a Christian. You see, life for them as Christians was tougher than perhaps they had originally expected. And the purpose behind the letter really was to encourage those sorts of people and say, hang in there, keep on going, it's worth it. And these verses that we're looking at today, chapter 10, verses 32 to 39, are particularly applicable to people who are finding the going tough. People who are maybe getting to the point where they're wondering whether it's even worthwhile continuing in their faith. Let's look first of all at verses 32 to 35. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, in other words, after you'd become Christians, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Notice the word joyfully. Because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And what the writer is doing here is he's taking them back. He's winding back the clock. And he's urging them to be encouraged as they remember the way that God was there for them as they went through difficult times in the past. If we could summarize this section here, it's talking about the encouragement of remembering. Life wasn't easy for you back when you were new believers, but you came through. Remember when you went through that time of great suffering, it says in verse 32. We don't know for sure what the writer is referring to here, but quite possibly he was referring to a time when the Roman emperor, a guy called Claudius, in 49 AD, issued an edict against Christians, and as a result of that, many Christians were persecuted and harassed. In the days of the early church, when the New Testament was being written, there were two very well-known waves of persecution against Christians. First was by this emperor Claudius, around 49 AD, and the second was about 15 years later under Emperor Nero. And it may very well be that what is happening here in this situation is that people are suffering under the persecution that was instigated by Nero. But some of them had also been Christians, young Christians, at the time when Claudius, 15 years earlier, had also instigated a wave of persecution. And what the writer is doing is he's reminding them of how they coped those years earlier when they experienced a great conflict full of suffering, it says there. Remember back to that time, he's saying. In verse 33, he says, remember times when you were publicly insulted and humiliated and persecuted. And if you weren't going through that yourself, you stood up for those people who were going through that. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. Other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. And then in verse 34, he says, remember when you were there for those Christian friends who were thrown into prison. In those days, they didn't have a prison system like we have today, where the prisoners, I'm not saying it's an easy life, but I mean that they were at least provided with the basics of life. But it was pretty hit and miss back in those days. And those in prison relied on their friends and their family to actually provide some of the basic necessities of life for them, to take them food and clothing and those sorts of things. Remember how back in those days you stood up very courageously and bravely for those friends of yours who were in prison. And then in verse 34, he also reminds them that they very joyfully put up with the confiscation of their possessions and their property. They had their basic rights taken away from them, but they joyfully coped with that. On Friday afternoon, I had a meeting with a man who had been a professor in a country and was hounded out of that country for his faith 30 years ago and had to flee, literally flee, with nothing but his wife and family, and eventually found asylum here in Australia. Why was he treated that way? Simply because he was a Christian and was prepared to stand up for his faith. And what the writer here is doing is saying, back in those days when you were young Christians, you were so convinced that what you had in Christ was better than whatever cost you were being forced to pay. Even if they took your earthly treasure from you, you knew that your heavenly treasure more than made up for what you were missing out on in this life. And so this is a very encouraging word, and it was meant to fire up these Hebrew Christians and to give them greater confidence in God. If they were feeling down, well, then this was a word which was meant to encourage them. Remember, remind yourselves of how you coped those years earlier. What would they have learnt by remembering these tough situations? You put yourself in their position there. What would they have learnt? Well, I think firstly they would have learnt that they're not alone, that there were others. They had Christian brothers and sisters, Christian friends who were going through the same testings that they were going through. So they weren't alone, and that in itself was a bit of an encouragement. There was also this sense in which not only were they in it together, but during that time they were able to really show love and compassion and care for one another. It didn't matter whether they were in prison or not. There was a bond between them that really gave them a tremendous amount of mutual encouragement. Thirdly, they were actually joyful as they were going through this persecution. Somehow or other, God gave them this special ability to rise above their circumstances and to actually, you know, find joy in the midst of it. I'm sure there would have been tears as well too. But there would have been a lot of joy in knowing that what they were experiencing in this life was something which was ultimately going to work out for their good. And I think that the fourth thing that they would have learnt during this time was that their priorities were not earthly priorities, they were heavenly priorities. You knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. And so they were able to let go of their earthly treasure because they knew that God had something far better awaiting them in heaven. Suffering, you know, in a funny, twisted kind of way, can actually sharpen our focus on the things that really matter in life. Do you believe that? I know we don't go looking for suffering, and I don't think we should go looking for suffering. But it has a way of being able to strip away the superficial things of life and enable us to be able to appreciate better the things that really matter, the things that are really important in life. The love of family and friends, the nearness of God as we're going through those difficult times, the ability to experience that deep inner peace that Matt was referring to earlier on, that deep inner joy which only God can provide for his people as they're going through difficult times. Well, what about us? I mean, we live in Australia. We live in the best state in Australia. Beautiful one day, perfect the next. The difficulties that we face are going to come in different forms than the difficulties that were being faced by these Hebrew believers. And that's obviously, you know, goes without saying. I'm very thankful for that as well too. I've never had to go and visit a Christian brother in prison who was imprisoned because of his faith. I haven't had to face, not to any really serious degree, insults and humiliation because of my faith. Some of you may have, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that we still, in our own way, in different forms today, experience suffering, which will test our faith. It might be the pain that's caused by a prodigal child. It might be the ongoing struggle with a depressive illness. It might be the constant stress of paying bills and managing your finances and never seeming to get ahead. It might be the rejection of members of your own family, or perhaps even the disappointment of a loveless marriage. Many of these sorts of issues, and I've just mentioned a couple of random ones there, but many of these sorts of issues are long term. There's no quick fix. There's no simple answer. And you can legitimately ask yourself as you're going through some of these experiences in life, where does God fit into my life as I face up to these troubles? As we've already said, friends, Christians are not immune from these things. But your faith in God, that faith which you first experienced when you became a Christian, when you first trusted Christ as your Saviour, is absolutely real as you endure those things. And maybe spending some time just reflecting on the past, remembering how you coped during tough times in the past, remembering how you experienced the reality of God's presence and power in your life during those times, can be very, very encouraging. And I think it's good for us from time to time to refresh our testimony, as it were, to think back to those days when God was very near and real and close to you as you went through a difficult time, to remind yourself of God's goodness in those times. I think it's good perhaps even at times to write some of those things down and keep them in a little notebook or something there so that when you are feeling discouraged, you can pull that book out and you can draw comfort and strength from the reality of God's presence with you in times like that. God's faithfulness to us in the past, friends, is guaranteed to be God's faithfulness in the present and in the future as well too. He is a faithful God. Not just he was a faithful God, he is and he will be eternally faithful. Well, that's the first half of the passage, but let's read verses 35 and 39 now. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For, and this is a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2, in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And, but my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. If the first way for us to cope in the difficult times of life is to be encouraged as we look back and remember, the second way to cope in tough times is to persevere in faith. We need the faith to persevere. We use the term faith in a variety of different ways. Sometimes we talk about faith as being like a religion, the Buddhist faith, the Islamic faith, the Jewish faith, the Christian faith. That's one way we use it. That's okay, that's legitimate. Then there's taking that step of faith that is necessary when we first respond to God's gracious gift of salvation. We talk about a person who came to faith. They came to faith, they responded to the grace of God, became a Christian. And so what we're talking about there is this faith in Jesus Christ and his saving death and his resurrection. We put faith in that. And in response to that, we become Christians. But here the focus is on another sort of aspect of faith, which is that ongoing faith, which is an essential part of the Christian life. In verse 38, it talks about the righteous one living by faith. My righteous one, or the righteous one, there it can be translated in two different ways. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Verses 37 and 38 are quotes from the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Now, I'm sure that most of you haven't digested in any great detail the book of Habakkuk. It's not one of the books that we tend to spend a lot of time reading. But let me just summarise for you very quickly the context of the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a prophet, and he spent a fair bit of time complaining to God about the widespread godlessness and disobedience of the nation, and especially the suffering of righteous people within the nation at that time, the nation of Israel. And so he would go to God and he would say, God, this is not fair. Why don't you step in and do something? And God said to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, it's not going to last forever. Relief is coming. But in the meantime, keep trusting me. Keep living by faith. Keep persevering in faith. My righteous ones will live by faith. So don't shrink back. God was basically saying to Habakkuk, I haven't abandoned you. I haven't abandoned my people, my faithful people. I haven't forgotten them. In my timing, however, that is something for the future. In the meantime, keep trusting me, keep walking by faith. And when we get to the third chapter, the last chapter, in fact, the last couple of verses of the book of Habakkuk, this is what he writes, and this is one of the most powerful statements of faith that you can read in the whole Bible. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. That's what it means to persevere in faith. And our faith as Christians rests first and foremost, of course, on what Christ has done for us when he died for us upon the cross. We are saved by faith. But we're not just saved by faith as a sort of like a past event. We're to keep on living by faith today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives. The whole of the Christian life is meant to be a journey of faith. And though we can't see what lies ahead of us, though we can't see what lies around the next corner in our lives there, we can have confidence in the God who has made promises to us. He has promised that our sin will be forgiven when we trust in Jesus Christ. He has promised that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we become children of God, invited into his family. And as we respond to God's grace in our lives, so he gives us his Holy Spirit, who will continue to sustain us and to make our faith real to us on a day-by-day basis. A faith that will be able to remain relevant whatever the circumstances of life that we might be going through. The assurance that one day Jesus is going to come back and the wrongs of this world are going to be righted. And the pain of this world will be changed to eternal joy in the presence of God forever. This is the reward that awaits us as Christians. And friends, these are the truths which need to fortify us as we're going through difficult times. Our confidence, it says in verse 35 there, will be richly rewarded. So don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. This is what persevering faith is. And you know, persevering faith is real faith. It's genuine faith. The promises of God are for those who persevere during the ups and downs of life, during the pain and the trials, the hardships and the disappointments of life. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. In chapter 11, we're going to look at perhaps the greatest chapter in the whole Bible on the subject of persevering faith. And I know that many of you will be familiar with Hebrews chapter 11. And what the writer of Hebrews does in that chapter is he illustrates what persevering faith is all about by referring to a whole series of Old Testament characters. It is a great chapter, and we're going to enjoy studying this chapter over the next couple of weeks. These were people who continued to trust God in the most difficult situations and the harshest realities of life. And that's the way it needs to be for each one of us who is a Christian. We don't shrink back. We don't give up. We don't lose heart. We don't doubt God's love and his goodness. We don't question God's plans and purposes for us. We keep on living by faith. We keep on living by faith. Perhaps you're going through a tough time at the moment in your life. I mean, I preach a message like this. At the end of the day, you have to apply it to your own life. But how's your faith going? You know the challenges that you're facing. How's your faith going? Are you still holding on to the Lord? Are you convinced in your own heart of hearts that God understands what you're going through? That he's caring for you, that his love hasn't diminished one tiny, tiny little bit? Are you certain in your own heart that God is in absolute and total control over your circumstances? Are you prepared to admit that maybe through this trial that you're going through, that God is able to produce endurance and character in your life? And that ultimately, the day will come when your salvation will be complete, when the Jesus who you are trusting for your salvation will come back again and take you to be with him forever. Keep on praying. Keep on remembering. Keep on trusting. That's the message that comes through in these verses here. And I pray that we'll all be encouraged to keep on clinging to our faithful God as we do that today. Let's pray. Our Father, our hearts go out today to Christians who are suffering for their faith in many parts of the world. And Father, we ask today especially that you will comfort them and that you will strengthen them as they keep on standing strong in the face of all kinds of injustice and discrimination. Pray, Father, that maybe our country will find ways to bring at least some of these people here, where they'll be protected, Lord, from that danger. But Lord, in the meantime, as they continue to represent you, give them the courage, Lord, to keep standing and Lord, to face whatever the consequences might be. But Lord, we also want to pray this morning for ourselves as we face different forms of challenge in our lives. Well, Father, give us the strength too to keep trusting you in the midst of our suffering. Remind us, Lord, over and over again of your faithfulness and your love towards us. And Lord, as we look back in the past and remember, Lord, how you've been there for us in those days gone by, may it encourage us, Lord, to keep looking to you. And Father, we pray that you'd stir up within each one of us, Lord, a greater faith to persevere and even joyfully trust you, Lord, as we go through these difficult times in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that your word is an encouraging word, and help us, Lord, to be encouraged by it today as we apply this message to our lives. Amen.